case you missed this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast,
we had this.
Some people don't like some of the values that what Bows stand for.
Why do you think that is?
Listen, it's too easy to criticise the club about some of the initiatives that they've done down through the years. But it's an inclusive club. It's a club that has an identity.
And we also had this.
Why are Roscommon two places ahead of Cork?
They've just done more, like, over the last couple of seasons. They just have, like. You wanna go to war over this middle third? Like, get out of Dodge. I'm not having a falling out with you here. Like, so, Colin, yeah. I'm going to move on swiftly here because I'm not getting into a tit for tat over Cork being 14.
Pull the ladder up.
Being 12.
That's the worst kind of, we're now big time, you're not. Catch up now on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off The Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday night's Off The Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening, and we are getting reaction to the Gaelic football weekend on tonight's show. So Down coach Marty Clark will join us from 7:30 to reflect on a season that was ended by Galway on Sunday. I think it's fair to say Down became a lot of people's second team over the course of the Sam Maguire Championship, and just a brilliant brand of football. So really interested to hear what Marty Clark has to say about Down's season, which ended on Sunday. After 9 o'clock then, on the Talton Cup front, we're going to be speaking to Wicklow midfielder Dean Healy to chat through his side's heartbreaking semi-final defeat to Limerick in Croke Park on Sunday. And then between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Jenny Carlson about the Oklahoma City Thunder in the wake of their NBA Championship win on Sunday night. And we're also going to be chatting through the infamous Duncan McRae, Ronan O'Gara moment from the 2001 Lions tour to Australia. So that was the 24th of June 2001. Today's the 24th of June 2025. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. And Carl Mullaney's News Round will be getting underway in just a moment. Carl, how are you doing?
Hey, lads.
Mick McCarthy, how are you?
Well, I was fine up until 2 seconds ago, and then I realised that I'm sitting on radio talking about a 24-year anniversary of something that I remember quite well.
Hmm. That must be pretty depressing.
I feel bloody old, yeah. Anyway, thanks for that. You go on with the show, and I'll just have a go. I'll contemplate this.
The thing is, I have this kind of vague memory of it, like 6-1 News, and like seeing this face of a young fella just being completely battered and just being like, what on earth has happened to this guy? I definitely didn't watch the game. We definitely didn't have, because it would have been on Sky Sports.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't have Sky Sports in 2001. Definitely didn't watch it live, and probably never saw the incident until 5-10 years later. But I vividly remember watching the news that night, and then the sports headlines was just Ronan O'Gara, like black and blue,
yeah,
plastered everywhere. It was pretty astonishing for a young fella.
It's funny, we're going to talk about it a little later on, and there's a little bit of downplaying it that happens these days, you know, like, and not least from Duncan McRae is like, you know, it was an incident that happened, you know, why are people still going on about it? And it's like, you watch it back, and it's no less shocking, it's probably even more shocking all these years later. I think people were used to a little bit more violence on the rugby field back then as well. But at the same time, it's like, it is as bad outright violence as I've ever seen on a sports pitch. Normally, these things are blown out of proportion because, you know, if there's a kind of a bit of a brawl or something like that, something will happen and one punch is thrown or one headbutt is struck and it's like, whoa, God, I can't believe that, because it's, you know, something that's happening on a sports field, but would be tame outside your local chipper on a Saturday night. Whereas this is something that, like, I think if you saw this outside the local chipper, you'd think it was pretty astonishing.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I kind of feel like it's the idea that it's blown out of proportion, I don't think it's true at all.
No, I haven't heard too many people
say
that.
Blown out of proportion is wrong, but I feel people are kind of almost like downplaying it off. These things happen.
No, these things don't tend to happen. We'll play clips later on, but certainly O'Gara's bemusement when he's speaking to the cameras pretty instantly is clear, because you've got the up close and personal documentary following them around at the time when they get Ronan O'Gara in the treatment room, they get Ronan O'Gara on the sideline as it happens, and some of that audio is absolutely fascinating. Donal Lennon, by the way, in all of this, sticking up for his Cork man.
I was
going
to say, that's
brilliant.
What I remember from is watching Donal Lennon. I think was there a hearing or something after that Donal Lennon had to attend. That's what I remember from it. And obviously O'Gara's face, like, it blew up, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was
crazy stuff.
pretty big. And obviously there was a whole sort of a taking the piss moment with Austin Healey that develops after that, which leads to another form of boxing the head off somebody, which we've covered extensively on the show. But we'll connect it all together after 8 o'clock. If you've got any memories of it, our number is 0879 180 180. So that's coming up after 8 o'clock. I know it's going to be in your news round, Cathal, but it seems at this point that Keith Andrews is a certainty to become the next Brentford manager. So he'll become the first person to have played for the Republic of Ireland and to manage in the Premier League since...
Mick McCarthy?
Nope.
I would have said Mick as well.
So someone that's managed after Mick's last job?
Yeah. Mick McCarthy's last job was... He finished up in 2012 in the Premier League. He hasn't managed in the Premier League since 2012.
Has he not?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
Roy?
Chris Hughton.
Ah, Chris Hughton.
Brighton.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Struggling there.
Chris at Brighton was the last person who's played for the Republic of Ireland to have managed in the Premier League until Keith Andrews. So this looks like it's going to be happening over the next couple of days. Obviously a great moment for Keith Andrews. I think it's still a bit jarring for a lot of people, but I think what it is that it's also a great moment for set-piece coaches everywhere. Like, this is the biggest promotion of a set-piece coach we have seen, I would argue. Like, you look at the most famous ones... Your buddy Austin McPhee and Nicholas Yover with Arsenal. They're probably the two most famous ones in the Premier League, and neither of them have got that big promotion. But I think it possibly underlines Brentford and their view of their set-piece coaches, because just doing a little bit of digging on this earlier on, I'm not sure if you were aware that Brentford were the first ever English football team to appoint a full-time set-piece coach. So they've always placed a pretty high value on the set-piece coach. That was back in 2015. And they've always had a good record of their set-piece coaches going on to do good things elsewhere or getting headhunted. Like, Andrews's predecessor was Bernardo Cueva, who was taken to Chelsea and is now one of their coaches there. And I don't think he just specialises in set-pieces either. So maybe if he was in Andrews's position under Frank now, when Frank departs, maybe he's the guy who steps up, and any old set-piece coach would have got that step up at Brentford.
No.
But it also feels like Andrews has done a pretty impressive job, and him getting highlighted by Jamie Carragher on Monday Night Football there at the start of the year when they had those quick starts, three in succession, three goals inside the opening 40 seconds, definitely elevated him to a higher plane. And within the club, he's clearly highly thought of. And it's a remarkable ascension.
It is brilliant, right? And it's unbelievable. We should talk about Brentford's fans, and we could talk about like a club taking a chance on a manager that isn't experienced. But from Andrew's point of view, it's like there's an element with Brentford where they've always been a kind of a moneyball club, so it doesn't surprise me that that they are looking ahead, looking at set piece coaches and so on. But I wouldn't like... Sometimes it's like almost deriding the decision by saying, oh, they've just appointed the set piece coach. It's like Keith Andrews was brought in there as a future coaching option for them. He was put into the set piece role. He's not a set piece coach. He hasn't done that at other jobs. He was put into that role because that's an important role in their coaching structure. And he has done that job well, but he's not just a set-piece coach. So I think people should just take that out of their mind. There's articles at the time about what they brought him in and basically were fitting him into where Thomas Frank could use him best, as opposed to hiring a specialist set-piece coach. So he's a football coach and has done, like, seemingly remarkably well in the jobs he's done, despite, and I think people, Brentford fans will point this out, not having a whole lot of success football-wise with like Sheffield United or with MK Dons or with Ireland, let's face it, as well. So I think that remains to be seen. But it's also like just... I think it is... one thing I would say for Brentford fans is there is an element of trusting the process here. You know, it's like they have done this before. They're doing things in a different way to every other club, but that's what's got them where they are. So instead of freaking out now and saying... we're doing things differently in every other club, we're going to get relegated, this is a disaster, maybe say, this is what's got us to where we are, a small club that probably shouldn't be fighting at the top level, at the top half of the Premier League. So, maybe they know what they're doing.
You've been looking around at what Brentford fans have been saying?
Yeah, it doesn't take much looking, to be honest. Like, I've seen basically universal unhappiness with this.
Yeah.
Panic, I would say, it's almost close to. Yeah, absolutely. Like, really, really not seeing the upside of it at all, not trusting the process, I would say, and just going into a sort of a sense that this is a death knell.
Yeah,
it looks like they're going to sell them.
Probably, in fairness to those fans, they're thinking, well, we've come from where we've come from to the top 10 in the Premier League now, and you think that brings you into another ballpark when you're searching for managers.
Yeah.
But the reports that have come out is that Brentford have kind of trawled through Europe in terms of managers that are out there, and they've still settled on Keith Andrews as the person that they want to put in there, which is probably reflective of the impact that he's had, obviously, on the playing group last season and how highly he's rated by the owners. And for him, like, in terms of a Premier League job, there's not too many better than that. Obviously, you're talking about the huge clubs, but like in terms of a club that's on an upward trajectory, that's run really well, as you say, it's a huge opportunity for him. It's unbelievable.
When do we think their first game is going to be on Sky Sports with Roy Keane as pundit? We have seen Roy Keane in a Sunday Independent interview there a couple of years ago, really just really go to town on Keith Andrews, and it felt like there was some score settling going on. And is it unfair to suggest that a score is never fully settled with Roy Keane, that he's got a long memory and might continue to go after the Brentford manager if that manager happens to be Keith Andrews as the season goes on?
Yeah, I don't think it's unfair.
I think it's a Forest Brentford on the 17th of August at 2 o'clock. That would suggest to me that's a Sunday fixture. Like, could they be first game of the season? Sunday, Roy Keane.
Well, from Keith Andrews' point of view, the way that you maybe go back at that is get results.
Go and win at the City Ground.
Yeah, if he gets results.
Yeah, 40-second opener and 1-0 win.
There would be digs, but hopefully it's no more than that. Do you know, like, hopefully it's not a... I actually don't see Keane going on vendettas. I think he'll be fair in his analysis of it, but I think he'll have that sort of... We all know what that sort of end-of-the-sentence dig that can be so hurtful from Keane can be. But look, we should be thinking about this as well from... Like, in all fairness, there aren't a million Brentford fans listening to this conversation, but there's an awful lot of Irish fans listening, and to have a Irish manager... like, who obviously we know really well here and obviously, you know, has played in the modern era for Ireland. You know, we're talking about Chris Hughton, Mick McCarthy, Roy Keane. That's all from a different time, really. You know, this is a, you know, Euro 2012 and, you know, a completely, like, a modern manager. Also, you know, did some stuff here. But he's also got Ireland's two best players. Like, Brentford are the Irish club now.
It's gone
They're
from
kind of like Burnley from a few years ago, but way more exciting.
It's gone from Thomas Frank leaving being a disaster for Caoimhín Kelleher to being a great thing for Caoimhín Kelleher because he's being replaced with an Irishman. And
maybe they should buy Evan Ferguson as well.
I mean, it did cross my mind.
Get him for cheap, Moneyball.
It might not just be two Irish players there next year with a long transfer market still ahead of us. So let's see how it plays out anyway. It looks like it's pretty imminent, Keith Andrews to become Brentford manager.
Well done to him as well, we should say. You know, just like, kind of mad. Like, I can't. Is there any. Like, he's so highly thought of that they're doing something that no Premier League team does anymore, which is to hire somebody with no experience as a first team manager.
Hmm. Yeah. You know? No, absolutely. Fair play to him. That's right. The news round is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. It has been a busy day for the Irish footballers cross-channel.
Yeah, that's right, because the Republic of Ireland international Darrell Shea has committed his long-term future to Ipswich Town. The 26-year-old defender has signed a deal that will keep him at Portman Road until 2030. O'Shea played more than any other player in the Ipswich squad last season, though he couldn't prevent their relegation back to the Championship. He's also become a key part of the Ireland team, with 35 caps to his name now at senior level. And O'Shea says he took to Ipswich very quickly after his move from Burnley last summer.
It's a club that's got good people in it, and yeah, I've loved it. Obviously, everyone's taken to me really well, and I've taken to them too. So, you know, I think it's quite fitting, you know, that I've signed a new contract. I think it's great for everyone, it's great for all parties, and yeah, it's just exciting, to be honest. I'm glad to have it done now. So I'm heading into pre-season, you know, with nothing looming over me, and a clear, fresh mind, and yeah, ready to hit the ground.
Yeah, I wonder, do you just need to accept that you're part of a football club that's in the top 25-30 in England? I see Ipswich are favourites to win the Championship at this point and to go straight back up. Are you signing on with the club for another few years?
I thought Darrell Shea actually might get a move to an established Premier League club. I thought he was really good last season.
See, he had to, though. I think that was the only option. He couldn't be going back to Burnley or to, you know,
someone that might yo-yo up and down again.
It's just, it'd be 4 years in a row. Yeah. You can't just keep going to the promoted clubs every single year and get relegated. But I thought he had a good enough season last year that would suggest that he's Premier League level, and Ipswich aren't a guarantee. Like, you kind of think that Ipswich are one of those teams that might never get back up, or certainly not.
Well, they are favourites to win the Championship next year, so...
It's
interesting.
I guess keeping Kieran McKenna is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe if they do keep that squad together, yeah.
But it's just a championship. You never really know with that division what could actually happen. Andrew Omabamadeli, meanwhile.
Yeah, he's completed a permanent transfer to Strasbourg from Nottingham Forest. The defender was on loan with the French club since January. He went on to make 11 appearances since that move. He only made 15 appearances, Omabamadeli, for Forest since he signed for the club back in September of 2023. The fee for that transfer to Strasbourg is believed to be in the region of €8 million.
And you do have the details on Keith Andrews' story.
Yeah, he's on the brink of being appointed as the new manager of Brentford, according to multiple reports. Today, the former Ireland international is in line to replace Thomas Frank, who left the West London club to join Tottenham earlier this summer. Andrews has 35 international caps with Ireland. He worked under Thomas Frank as a set-piece coach last season. Elsewhere on the managerial front today, Middlesbrough have appointed the former Luton boss Rob Edwards as their new manager. He succeeds Michael Carrick at the Riverside Stadium.
We have Women's Champions League qualifying fixtures.
Athlone Town have confirmed their meeting with Cardiff City in Women's Champions League qualifying will take place at their home ground. The Athlone Town Stadium in Lissabullen will host that fixture at the end of July. The winner will advance to play the Croatian champions ZNK Agram in the final of the first qualifying round.
Now on to our favourite competition.
The Club World Cup Group C leaders Bayern Munich, who are already through, take on Benfica later tonight. The Portuguese club need just only a point there to seal their place in the knockout phase. The
Brilliant other game, for Benfica, a historic European club. They're definitely in the top eight teams in Europe.
The other game tonight, Boca Juniors need Benfica to lose and to win themselves against eliminated Auckland City, with a big goal difference swing is required as well there to go through. Meanwhile, Chelsea striker Nicholas Jackson's been given a two-match ban following his sending off against Flamengo earlier in the tournament. He was given a red card for a bad tackle just 4 minutes after coming on as a substitute. FIFA say that the ban can't be appealed, and that means Jackson will miss Chelsea's final group match against ES Tunis, which takes place in the early hours of tomorrow morning in Philadelphia. And maybe a pointer of things to come for the World Cup next year. Temperatures of almost 40 degrees there, and the Chelsea had to cut their training session short.
Reports of the ball bouncing so high that players can't control it on the pitches. Farce.
Do you know who'd be able to get to grips with the bounce of a ball? It's a good set-piece coach like Keith Andrews. He'd be able to mathematically decide how exactly.
Maybe Brentford will be called up for this next time.
Yeah, potentially.
Will that affect kick-off times? Maybe the World Cup, or are they set in stone? I wonder from this far out.
TV will be more important than players' health. I think we all know that.
Paul Murphy of the Hurling Pod has been in touch. Just on the Keith Andrews stat, Seamus Coleman, interim Everton manager earlier this year. I should have said permanent full-time. I thought I did say that. That's what I've written down. And if you take that into account, Paddy McCarthy obviously has been a non-permanent Premier League manager for Crystal Palace as well recently. So there's been a few. There's been a few interim, but the first full-time Premier League manager who has played for the Republic of Ireland since Chris Hughton is the stat.
One slight bit of interest in the World Cup tonight. Tonight's the first time in his entire career that Leo Messi will play one of his former clubs.
Really?
No, he's only had two former clubs. And he was with the first one for most of his career. But there you go.
There you go. A text in here from Tony. I was living in Australia at the time and was crazy as the Aussies thought nothing of it. Hard to believe that it's 24 years old, feeling old as well. 0879 180 180.
That wouldn't surprise me, seeing Australian coverage of sport over the years, both there and from afar. They really just are, they're bemused by anybody taking anything like violence or bad behaviour seriously. They just think everything is just like, what's the big deal?
You're calling them a violent nation of thugs, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they don't see things in quite as sensitive a way as we do.
Yeah. Potentially not, but I don't know. I think Duncan McRae, since he's spoken over the last 24 years, has kind of referred to it as just like a completely brainless moment for him and something that he deeply regrets. We have snooker.
Ken Doherty has missed out on a place in the Wuhan Open in August. The Dubliner lost to Ben Wollaston by 5-1 in their qualifier in Leicester earlier today. But better news for Aaron Hill and Jordan Brown. They've both booked their spot in the tournament with their wins over recent days.
A good run from Sarah Lavin.
Yeah, she clocked a season's best at the women's 100-metre hurdles event at the Golden Spike meeting in the Czech Republic earlier today. The Limerick woman finished third in a time of 12.76 seconds. That event in Ostrava was part of the World Athletics Continental Gold Tour Series.
For people listening at home, they won't care about this, but this studio is absolutely baking at the moment and we're all really, really warm. And yet I got chills when Cahill mentioned the word Wuhan there. Haven't heard that in the news in a while, thankfully. I'll be watching the snooker.
I was thinking, like, in what way could, like, this steam room actually be hourly noticeable? Is there anything, like, do you actually could, like, start to hear the sweat dripping off the microphone? Possibly, or in what way will the radio listener? Because the thing is, it's been ratcheting up ever so slightly month on month on month to the point where it's getting less and less tolerable. Of course, none of us are complaining about this, but at some point it's going to be visible to people.
I want to see what happens to you when it hits 88 degrees.
Yeah, I don't know.
You need a plunge pool outside. Do the sauna into plunge pool during the break.
Such a good idea. Now, good news for Andy Murray.
He's going to get a statue at Wimbledon, the 2013 and 2016 men's singles champion, retired last year. He'll be involved in designing the sculpture. Wimbledon hope that the statue will be revealed in 2027 during the championship's 150th anniversary.
Is that why there's so many terrible statues out there? Is that?
I remember the Ronaldo statue at the airport. Isn't that one of the worst ones?
The Niall Quinn tribute.
There's a pretty bad Maradona one as well. Ronaldo, I think, might be the renowned worst, is it?
That's pretty recent.
I don't know. There's a Niall Quinn statue.
No, as in the Ronaldo statue looked like Niall Quinn. It was a Niall Quinn tribute.
You could get a Niall Quinn statue. Stadium of Light.
But it seems to be more of a theme in like modern art, where like they're like trolling athletes. So
they did a good job on the ones down in Kerry, didn't they? Paddy O'Shea, Mick O'Dwyer is a great one.
Mick O'Dwyer is a great one. Beside Charlie Chaplin,
Mick O'Connell, isn't there? Is there a Mick O'Connell one? A roundabout in Tralee.
Is there, yeah?
I could be wrong.
There you go. News to me.
Sure, look, we'll say there is. Ignore the text and say I'm wrong.
I'll check it out next time I'm down there. We have golf.
Yeah, the final qualifying stage for the Open Championship confirmed. Graham McDowell, Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood are among the big names that will attempt to secure a spot through final qualifying for the Open at Portrush next month. All three players have entered final qualifying, which will take place across four venues this day next week. McDowell and Poulter will tee it up at Royal Cinque Ports, with Westwood set to play at Dundonald Links. In all, there are 16 Irish players across the four venues, with 20 qualification spots up for grabs.
And then finally we have cricket.
Yeah, big game today and an entertaining match as well. The England cricketers have completed their second highest test run chase to take a 1-0 lead in their 5-match series against India. They successfully reached their target of 371 at Headingley to win by 5 wickets. Ben Duckett starred with the bat. He scored 149 runs. The second test begins at Edgbaston next Wednesday.
A text in here from David that says there's a big Tom statue in Castle Blaney and it's class. Thank you. I would assume that Big Tom would only be depicted in the most brilliant artistic fashion, to be fair. I wouldn't expect anything less of the Monaghan sculptors.
I feel like there should be one in every town in Monaghan.
There should be. What does your Big Tom statue look like? It's like the
Big Tom.
The opening conversation for any Monaghan person. Carl, thank you for tonight's news round.
Off the ball. GAA.
If Aidan O'Shea even thought twice about stepping away, I got on to Bravely myself and give him a shout now and say, no, is not the time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.